Sunday morning, and a small group gather at the Higher Thought Temple in Auckland for what believer Adrian Harrison agrees could be called a service.
Yes, we could call it a service. We have a ritualistic service in which we're going to chant divine names, have some meditation, and a talk.
How many people are you expecting to get along today? How many people usually turn up?
It varies, varies a lot with the weather, actually, but anything between 5 and 12 people. Sometimes we get bigger numbers if we've got visitors coming, but that'll be it.
Within the Auckland area, how many followers, how many adherents do you have?
We call them members.
Members?
Yeah, they're members of Builders of the Adytum, and there's probably around about 25 members altogether. Not all of them ever come to the High Thought Temple. They are members of the organisation, and through their membership, they have access to lesson material. And this lesson material was developed decades ago. It's Kabbalistic material. It's wonderfully uplifting. It's got tremendous information, easy to read, and just a wonderful way to develop one's spirituality.
And developing her spirituality was exactly what Wellington member Caroline Campbell wanted when she first discovered the Builders of the Adytum.
I was questing for knowledge of self and the reasons for being in existence. I attended the Presbyterian Church, and I actually found that the church itself didn't give me enough of what I was looking for. And it was coming back from overseas. I was 25, and a friend came around and he started talking about the Kabbalah, and I thought, this sounds really interesting, and went out to the temple one meeting, and I thought, I've come home. It was the philosophy resonated with me. It was the content that just touched me. I thought, I understand this.
Mike, as he wishes to be known, is the organist for the Auckland group and one of the newer and younger members of the Builders. Like Caroline, he also was looking for something more.
Oh, to be honest, there was a lot of kind of personal searching, and I remember driving past the building many times, kind of going, oh, I wonder what that's about. Funnily enough, I was actually quite against religion, against the kind of, the dogmatic, exoteric religion. I find that what we do here is quite different to the way that people think of religion. It's very personal, and it's very empowering as well. So it's, you know, get this feeling that you're being told what to do, or you don't do anything against your will. You're not being forced to believe something because it's what the church believes or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's all down to personal experience. It's very subjective and very personal.
I am the centre of expression.
So who are the Builders of the Adytum, and what do they believe in? I asked Adrian to begin by unpacking the name for me.
Well, let's just focus on the word Adytum for a moment, because it's probably one which people don't are not familiar with, don't know what it means. But basically it means the like an inner temple, an inner sanctum, a centre of holiness. And so we're what we are building within ourselves, metaphorically speaking, of course, is we're building our own spirituality. Builders of the Adytum has a fabulous curriculum which starts off with what's called the seven steps, and one of the key things there is just identifying what it is that you really want, what you want most want to be, most want to do in life. And having identified that, then you can really go forward. And for many people, myself included, I think it took me a long time to work out what it was that I really wanted.
What was that, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, ultimately, it's the whole goal of this work, which is, I guess, liberation, perfecting myself as much as I possibly can, and growing spiritually.
Liberation from what?
Liberation from addiction to work, to looking good, all the things that we do as human beings, and just being perfectly comfortable with myself, comfortable with other people, and actually recognising the inner spirituality of all human beings, and being able to relate to people from that point of view rather than as separate individuals, and being more aware of differences and what's wrong and, you know, so forth, rather than just accepting people for who they are.
According to their website, Builders of the Adytum is a religious organisation dedicated to spiritual attunement through study, practice and worship in the tradition of the Western Mysteries. It was founded in the early 1920s by American Paul Foster Case to hasten the true brotherhood of mankind and to make manifest the truth that love is the only real power in the universe. They base their teachings on sacred tarot, the Tree of Life and the Holy Kabbalah.
Well, Kabbalah is the, I guess, method of teaching or a system of teaching. It goes back to very ancient days, back to Jesus' time and well before that. It's certainly Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, is a central part of Kabbalah, and that's part of the Jewish religion. They have the exactly the same Tree of Life that we have. The Tree of Life, actually, you can look at from two points of view. You can look at it from an upwards to a descending downwards point of view, to utter divinity at the top, down to the spiritual plane, to the physical plane, the materialistic thinking, and then you can look as the path of return on the other, the upward path from, again, material plane thinking to more spiritual thinking, to attaining what Jesus accomplished through his training, which included Kabbalah, and then beyond. And I don't know what's beyond, but the Tree of Life, it actually consists of 10 circles that they're arranged in 3 vertical rows, and there are 7 horizontal levels. It's almost like a step down process of reduced vibratory energy from this very high, rapid state of vibration, which I can't imagine at the very top, it's probably way beyond our senses, to the manifestation ultimately on the physical plane, where things vibrate much more slowly. But even so, we know that there is a range of vibratory energy there, from solids, liquids, gases, and the different parts of the electromagnetic spectrum. So it's that kind of analogy which I think applies to the Tree of Life, a step-down process of energy to the physical plane. So our aim as builders of the Adytum is to train through the various stages of the Tree of Life, not just the steps below Tifereth, but also above. And we see there that there are connecting paths between these circles, or Sephira, and to each one there is a tarot key assigned. And so there are particular lessons, particular types of information from astrology, from colour, all sorts of information which apply to that particular path.
Every day I get up in the morning and I go through a certain meditational ritual. So the meditations in that sense just involve a tarot key, because the tarot keys are pictorial representations of consciousness and the various attributes or specializations of consciousness, if you like. So whether it's love or whether it's imagination or whether it's reason. And then during the course of the day, when I'm actually at work, I'm often in my quieter moments, I'm again applying some of those meditations in a much more informal way. And I guess in a sense, in a way that's very similar to cognitive therapy. So if I'm in a quite difficult situation, I will choose one of the tarot keys that I can use to counteract a mood or a reaction that might be coming up that might be adverse and might make a situation worse.
Well, tarot again goes back an awful long way. I think symbolism is the language of our subconscious mind. We take in these messages from it. They are like inner truths, different aspects of consciousness. I guess an awful lot of the study of Builders of the Adytum is taken up with studying what is the actual messages that are encompassed within tarot, and a lot of our lessons are exactly on that.
So this is meditation, or this is using, as you say, a key to help you in a situation. It's not prayer as such.
It's not prayer, but we have prayer as well. It's certainly pray to God. God is a core aspect of our belief. So we say God or the higher self. Jesus is also another key figure, a key representative as being an example of a very enlightened state. So we can pray to that particular figure. There are also times when you might pray or ask for the assistance of the archangels.
When you attend a ritualistic service, you're immediately struck by the similarities and the differences with mainstream Christianity. There are people wearing robes, a pipe organ. The congregation is invited to sit, stand, sing, and pray together. There are readings and a talk on key tenets of belief, not unlike a sermon. There's also a Bible and a cross. So what place do Jesus and Christianity have in the builder's beliefs?
Our aim ultimately is to follow be following the footsteps of Jesus to attain the Christ consciousness.
So you would consider yourselves Christians or a part of the Christian church tradition?
No, I think anyone who is a Christian who listened to this conversation would realise that our perspective of Jesus is completely different from that of the Christian faith, where I think they kind of consider him to be God, whereas what we would say is that we are all gods in training.
In my mind, it's this idea of the great work. See, when I say this, I feel like it's quite cheesy and religious, but kind of finding God, appreciating life, experiencing ever-increasing degrees of liberation. So there's this idea of freedom that comes through, and also living a more deliberate life is really important to me. And I think that this work, while it does have sort of religious, or you know, to an external view, it has religious overtones, it is very intimately linked with your life in all aspects, and just, you know, increasing liberation.
There's no priesthood, just fellow members who have travelled a little further down the path. And there is little in the way of dogma, but there are some core beliefs.
I guess one of the things that most Kabbalists or builders of the Adatim members would adhere to would be reincarnation. So that through a series, and I don't know how many, but through many lives, one gradually evolves, and particularly more faster if you actually start following a path of spirituality. And what I would say about that is, I don't pretend that this is the only spiritual path. Of course it's not, and other people are on spiritual paths with their Christianity, their Buddhism, all sorts of things, and there are different paths for different people.
And when I got into the Kabbalah, I thought consciousness is ongoing, that it develops a number of different forms, and through that formation you get a sense of like an ongoingness of life. And therefore, what I achieve, I thought it was very comfortable for me, because I thought who I am in this life and what I achieve is not the be-all and end-all, that there is life after life after life, and I become larger in that sense. Again, it's like it's a process of learning, and then the acquisition of those skills. You need to be tested out, to be trialed in a sense, to see if you can stand up to that test. And then as a way, in terms of using your consciousness, you find that you start to get greater strength and greater skill in coping with the adversity that comes sometimes from your own thinking and feeling. Probably one of the best examples I can give, and it's a very deeply personal one, is when my brother committed suicide. And he was hanging in a certain space in the house, my father's house, and I stayed there during the night, and I was in the room, I was in a bedroom which was just outside the space where he was hanging, and I couldn't go to sleep because all I had was this particular image of him, because I'd seen him earlier on during the day. So I thought, I want to get this image out of my mind. I don't want to keep remembering him as this, in this particular form. So I thought, what key do I need? What key do I need to focus my attention on, to focus my concentration on, and thereby shift the image, shift the emotions that are associated with the image, and let that negative image go? So So there was a particular moment where I had been meditating for quite a while, and I thought, oh, I'm probably not going to sleep for the rest of the night. Never mind, we'll just keep working on this key. And then as that image started, the prior image of my brother started to come in, it was superimposed with this extraordinary, brilliant, luminous blue-white cross. And the other image of my brother completely dissolved. It completely went away.
The builders of the Adytum are unashamedly an esoteric group, and perhaps inevitably, their numbers, in this country at least, are quite low. Recruitment and evangelising hold no real interest for them. They believe that people will come to the group when they are ready. And despite being what's known as a mystery school that studies occult knowledge, they say that what they have to teach is available to anyone who cares to learn. But there are some things that they're not allowed to tell the uninitiated.
Yes, yes. There is material and it's for obligated members only. You are dealing with the extraordinary infinite powers of consciousness. You wouldn't want to be responsible for giving people information and then those people going and using that information without going through the training and therefore putting themselves in harm. The recruitment is more about how you live the word. And then that goes all the way back to Jesus Christ saying, in fact, that's what I was reading this morning, when he advised his disciples to be doers of the word and just not hearers of the word.
When you talk to people about it, people that you would think would be quite into it, they will often turn off. I think that the whole kind of what we do here, there is a sort of stigma of occultism, and that a lot of people think occultism is something scary or freaky or like black magic or something like that. And when I talk to my friends about it, even people that I've known for a long time, they sort of look at me a bit funny sometimes. So I don't talk to people about it unless they show that they'd be interested.
Well, the word occult, I think, just means secret. It's not secret for any reason except that things are difficult or not simple and straightforward to be understood by all people. And I think the more knowledge you have about any subject, the less occult or mysterious it becomes.
There are connotations around that word, though, aren't there? Is that a misunderstanding of the word?
I think so. Mm. I mean, there's nothing we have here that is so secret that we wouldn't, you know, be comfortable with anybody walking in and talking about it, really. I mean, we're living in a somewhat Christian society, but really when you look at New Zealand or any of the other Western countries, there's such an enormous spectrum of different types of spirituality. I don't think that really applies. We are different, in a sense, from Christian cultures, but on the other hand, Jesus Christ has an enormous central role in our work.